cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morsa, joined as always by my good buddy, John Mariano. How are you today, John?
I'm all right. I am a little pissed off, I gotta be honest with you.
Oh no, what's wrong?
So I'm trying to eat healthier.
Right.
And I've been going to my butcher and buying these packages of meats and whatever that I usually grill. I didn't have enough time to grill and I was running low on propane. So I air fried my wings and I charred them a bit. I cooked them to like, supposed to cook them to like 165. I cooked them to like 200 degrees or so. So they were a little on the overcooked side. They were a little dried out. And I was really pumped to have these wings. And it was like the borderline Griswold family Christmas version of chicken wings.
I know how much you like your food, John. So that's got to be really upsetting for you.
Yeah, it's annoying. And then I make corn on the cob, and now I have some corn stuck in my teeth. So,
geez, you're just in rough shape, buddy.
It's going to be a very cranky podcast for me. I am excited, though, because we have a guest.
We do. And I was going to say, your day's going to get better, because joining us today is our podcasting brother from another mother, the one and only Jeff Saunders. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. I'm happy to be here. I love the premise of this new show, and I'm glad that I could hop on and get in on one of the early episodes. That way, if it ends up sucking it up, no one will remember it because you guys will put out plenty more after this.
If this stinks, we'll just cut bait and just be done with it and say, you know what?
There you go.
That was the last episode. Jeff killed it.
So. Yeah, then we'll just hang out and drink the rest of the night.
You know what? I'm not mad at that.
I have a question.
Okay.
How do you fry air? Don't you have to have grease to fry something? Isn't that what frying is?
It's basically circulating air in a big kind of zone.
But it's like convection.
It comes out. It's kind of like convection, and it comes out super crispy. Uh-huh. Mine looks a little bit like a toaster oven, a lot like a toaster oven. Well, and I put my food in, and it usually comes out a little drier than fried because it's not in grease, so it's healthier.
Yeah.
This is what us fans do.
It seems like they should call it an air convectioner. I feel like I'm being lied to. Like this is some sort of conspiracy.
I like to be lied to. I don't really need to know the truth. These are not things I care about, Jeff.
Well, maybe they could. The FBI could put together a team of maybe a skeptic and a straight person to figure this out.
A straight person?
Well, like in a comedic sense, not in a.
Oh, like a straight man, not like a heterosexual person. I was wondering what kind of angle you were going for here, or you know, what show are we covering? Is it like Designing Women, or is it? Is it something else where the truth is maybe out there?
I think option two.
So tonight, not to bury the lead, Jeff, but it was your choice for a theme song. And for the first four episodes, John and I picked, more popular songs, you know, with lyrics and everything. And you went right, you know, for the theme song route with your choice. Maybe tell us a little bit about it.
So this is a show that I enjoyed, when it first came on, and I've watched it kind of over the years. I think I've seen both of the movies, but it's a show that really wasn't like anything else on at the time when it started. Now it brought over a lot of tropes, and its bones are from other shows for sure. But the way that they put stuff together, it was something new. And I've always been someone that that's been intrigued by conspiracy theories and like cryptids and UFOs and the paranormal. So it's something that really caught my attention when it came on. Now, I was definitely a casual viewer, but that said, this show had a theme song that is really kind of iconic now. I think the theme song, just about anyone that hears it recognizes it. So even though it's not a song with like lyrics, which I don't know, if we get to drinking later, we could maybe write some lyrics for it. But even though it's not a song with lyrics, it's a theme song that I think everyone knows. And I think when people hear it, they enjoy it.
It's definitely one of the more iconic theme songs, especially from shows in like the 90s into the 2000s. John, were you a big watcher of The X-Files?
I was. It was a Friday night staple. It was back before like DVRs or Hulu or streaming or any of this stuff existed. It was before binging or even going to Blockbuster and renting all the episodes. It was appointment TV. It was like one of the last real big appointment. I know we have appointment TV now where like episodes drop or shows drop and everyone stops their weekend for it or whatever. But this was really, as soon as these episodes came on, I think it was 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night. Usually pre-gaming before I go out with friends. We all sit and watch this show, and it was just that damn good that it kept people indoors on a Friday night before they go out. And then we're talking, late teens, 20 somethings, I don't mean to endorse underage drinking here, but I may have imbibed a little bit when I was younger. Not that you should, if you're underage, we don't endorse that. Right? I'm trying to be careful. We're on a podcast, but also trying to be real about the stories we're telling here. And I was so caught up, like some of my favorite stuff was how Fox Mulder was, he wants to just believe in everything. He was willing to accept things, but wanted a definitive proof on how they exist or why they exist. Right. Where Scully's really the skeptic and really there to play off of and to say, well, no, what's the real science behind this? And then more times than not, it was very Twilight Zone-y in that they didn't always have the explanations. I thought it was so cool. I was really into some of the deeper layers on the show, the cigarette smoking man and the conspiracy with the aliens. Jeff, what do you think of some of that stuff?
I'll be honest, like a lot of that, I don't know. I watched it every now and then. It was more the monster of the week flavor that got me. Now I knew there was a storyline that went through it, but when I was watching it, I often was doing other stuff on Friday. And, back then, like you said, we didn't have DVRs. You had to like physically put a tape in your VCR and program it and all that stuff. And I'm not always the most technological sound person, but I always liked the show when I watched it, and it did strike a chord with me. But I couldn't tell you all the details or maybe even any of the details as far as like the conspiracy story that went through it.
Corey?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be possible to end the episode now and get a guest who actually knows the shows or movies that they asked to talk about?
I got to admit, I'm a little shocked that Jeff has never really seen this show and yet picked its theme to be the very first time he's on this show. He's going to pick from a show he's not really that familiar with. That is such a Jeff Saunders thing to do. It's like, I've never seen Golden Girls. Let's play that theme. Fuck it.
First of all, who's never seen the Golden Girls? Okay. And we will absolutely be talking about the Golden Girls theme song at some point now.
It's that iconic. Theme songs.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about this song is I didn't choose the X-Files theme. I chose the cover of the Truly Bizarre World theme.
So Jeff's talking about his YouTube podcast, and everyone should tune in to his Truly Bizarre World on the Feeding the Monster YouTube channel. Jeff does this incredible character called Hillbilly Scribbs, and it's a lot of fun. And he'll slip into characters once in a while. But I am a big Chris Carter fan. Like, I'm going to bring it back to like what we're here to talk about.
Right.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention, like, you know, this spun off the Lone Gunman because they're part of this as a three conspiracy guys. And, like, the show wasn't that big, and they tried to do more with it, but the show was big enough to get a spinoff. Chris Carter then goes on to make Millennium after this, which is one of the most underrated shows of the 90s. It stars Lance Henriksen, and he plays, I believe, Frank White or Frank Black. I again, watched it a long time ago, but it is, if you're tuning into this episode to hear about X-Files and stuff, which I'm now just going to a little bit of its legacy. I had a couple of movies spun off of it. You know, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny had pretty big careers afterwards. And a lot of great things came out of this. My two personal favorite episodes, if you're going to go off and hunt the show, are more in Jeff's lane, in that they're less of the conspiracy episodes, and they're actually two of the Monster of the Week episodes. So I'm going to bring that to the table for everybody and give high recommendations on both Beyond the Sea, which features a song, Somewhere Beyond the Sea, and Ice, which is kind of the X-Files take on The Thing. And they're in the, I think it's Antarctica, and they're at a science lab, and they unearth some kind of virus or something, and they're not sure what it is, and it's kind of like The Thing, but with Mulder and Scully examining it. And they were famous for these kind of shows. There's another great episode called Tombs, but not Tombs, like there are tombs that I go to in like a cemetery or anything, T-O-O-M-S, it's a person's name. And it's another great Monster of the Week sort of thing. You could look up like the 10 best X-Files episodes. These three will always fall into it. They're probably my top three episodes of the show. And I'm just hitting you with the names of them because we don't have enough time to go into the details. Because at some point we have to play the song.
Really? Do we have to? I kind of like hearing about the show because this is where I get to admit I didn't really watch the show. I had better things to do on Friday night, like, you know, get drunk, get laid, and have fun than to watch X-Files. I did watch both movies and thought they were pretty cool. And I kind of cherry-picked the odd episode here. I remember one episode involving the Titanic. That was kind of appointment viewing for me, like some kind of a little Titanic historian in my spare time. But other than that, didn't really watch the show. So I'm kind of looking forward to getting your all's take as we delve into this iconic theme song that Jeff has barely heard because he's seen about as many episodes as I have. So now I have to ask the question. There's about 20 different versions of this theme song out there. There's remixes. There was a version that actually charted in France, kind of a disco dance version. There's a 3-minute version on the original X-Files soundtrack, and there's a minute 50 or a minute 30 version that's kind of just a condensed version of that. Which one do we want to hear today?
I was going to suggest that we do the actual one, you know, not the disco or the remix, but the one from the soundtrack.
I'm going to propose this to you guys because I feel like Jeff picked the song, but I'm the biggest fan of the freaking show.
Right.
That we do the theme song from the show, the minute and a half version. And then if the audience and if you guys will indulge me, one of the biggest inspirations for the show and what it's based on to a degree, it's like kind of like the 90s version of, is the Twilight Zone. And maybe we use this opportunity to not just talk about the X-Files, but then being that most of the songs that we do are 3 to 4 minutes long, we do the Twilight Zone song after this. And then that way we can transition and talk about the inspirations of the X-Files. Jeff can maybe even give it into some context of why he picked a song of a show he barely knows. I don't know.
Perfect. What do you say, boy? Should we play a little bit of the X-Files theme here?
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm stopping it early because the opening piano keys and the whistle are just so iconic. It's up there for me with things like Tubular Bells from The Exorcist, with the piano keys of Halloween. You know, you could put it up there with any great theme from movie, from TV show, and it's instantly recognizable.
Yeah. You definitely know it within the first few seconds. I would even throw in there like the first four notes of the classic Star Trek theme. You know, there are certain theme songs, like you hear those first few notes and you know what it is. And this is one of them. Now, I will say it's weird not hearing it played with a banjo, because that's how I usually hear it. But I love hearing it. And it brings back a lot of memories just hearing the beginning of it there.
Well, we talked about iconic. I didn't really watch the show. You know exactly when you hear that boom, and then the and then that whistle comes in. You know exactly what theme that's from, even if you haven't really watched the show. That's the staying power of this theme, which was originally written and produced by Mark Snow. So we got to give him a ton of props, because he wrote, you know, arguably one of the most memorable themes of all time.
Listen, if you know, say arguably one of the most memorable themes of all time. There's been so many TV shows over the course of history of everything that if it's in the top 100 theme songs of all time, Corey's right on the money, right? Like you might be able to think of 99 better theme songs than this, or more iconic or more recognizable. But that still puts this in like the top 1% of all TV shows.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Was that drum prevalent in the actual theme, or is that something maybe added for this 20th anniversary celebration, which is the version that we're playing here tonight? That dun 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 dun. Like, I don't remember that so much from 1996.
So I can say that I did not listen to this with headphones on in 1996. And I was watching it on a much crappier system than my laptop is, right? Like whatever TV, I think it was a Magnavox I used to own. It was an old school standard definition TV that we didn't even call a standard definition TV back then, because we didn't have high definition. It was just called the TV set, right? And it was basically a glorified piece of furniture. And I had one in my parents' living room, and I would sit and watch the show. So to try and say whether or not the drums were prevalent, Corey, I couldn't tell you, because even if they were, I don't want to put up the audio. I didn't have surround sound or anything hooked up to TV. It was the old school TV speakers. I was at the will of the technology at the time.
No, that's a good point, because people got to remember 1996, we didn't have LEDs or plasmas or anything like that. It was the old tube TVs, usually, you know, around 20 inches was a big TV back then, stereo if you're lucky, and just coming out of the TV. So it's hard to believe that 1996 to me doesn't feel that long ago, but it's really a long time ago, especially when it comes to technology.
Yeah. And my memories get a little blurred with this. Like I mentioned earlier, I saw a few episodes from time to time. But you know where I really heard this the most, and I'm not going to say on my show, but where I really heard this the most was we had a store called Hastings that unfortunately that company went bankrupt a few years back. But it was a music and movie store, basically. And they would play theme songs over the speakers while you're in there. And I guarantee 9 out of 10 times I went in there, I would hear this song. And of course, I don't know if I heard the version from this soundtrack from the movie or if it was the version from the TV show. So it kind of blurs together a little bit.
Now, what do you think about, Jeff, when you hear this song? Because like you said, you use this on your criminally underseen YouTube show, The Truly Bizarre World, on YouTube, on the Feeding the Monster podcast feed. Please, everybody go check it out. It's a hell of a lot of fun. But, you know, as kind of a, you know, this is right up your alley, right? When it comes to like aliens and woolly boogers and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, hearing this song, that's got to stir a lot of things in you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And it did back then, like when it first came out. I mean, it's an iconic theme, but to me, like just the sound of it and I don't know, the composition of the song itself just kind of struck a chord with that kind of like curiosity inside of me. Now, a lot of the themes and stuff they tackled on the show is stuff like, I don't know if we want to get into all of Jeff's real life stories, but stuff that I have had, I don't know if encounters is the right word, but stuff that I've experienced, a lot of it kind of jived with that, whenever I would hear this theme. And then this theme also, to me, like John said a while ago, you know, you think of like the Twilight Zone, and there's a few other shows too, that like will pop into my mind, when I hear this theme song that has like similar types of music. You know, there's the Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, Doctor Who has like an instrumental theme that's very also iconic, but maybe not in America, maybe not as iconic as this one.
Right.
But all of those types of shows definitely scratch a special itch that I have. And I don't know if you want me to jump into any of those stories now, or if we want to finish listening to the theme first.
Well, let's play a little bit more.
Why don't we play a little bit more, and the next time we stop the song, mm-hmm. you know, we'll play a little game that Corey or I will stop the song. It'll be like musical chairs. Uh-huh. Before we get to talk, you hit us with a story.
Okay. Fair.
Fantastic idea. Good job, John.
Oh, I gotta go first before y'all talk. Okay. Well, the first thing that always comes to my mind, and I don't know that this was a topic that was so much covered on the X-Files, but whenever I think about this kind of stuff, I cannot think about Bigfoot. And watch any of my stuff, any of Hillbilly Scribbs' stuff, and you know that Bigfoot is just a topic that I love and adore. When I was 3 or 4 years old, one of my earliest memories is I remember walking through our living room in the home I grew up in, and on our big box TV, this was back in the late 70s, there was like a late night movie was on, okay? And it was a movie that had come out around about that time. At the time, I didn't know what it was. I just saw one scene from this film as I was walking through the living room. And it's a scene that haunted and terrified me for most of my life. And a scene that would bring me back to the Bigfoot, to looking up stuff on Bigfoot and trying to find out, you know, what was this I saw. But it was just this scene, these two teenagers were on a couch, window right behind them, this hairy arm bursts through the window and starts thrashing around trying to grab them. And I used to have nightmares about that. I would wake up in the middle of the night afraid that, you know, this hairy arm was going to bust through my window in my bedroom and get me. But years later, I did some investigating, researching, and I found out that this was from a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek. And it's supposedly based on like some actual occurrences that happened in Southeast Arkansas in a town called Folk. It's about this Bigfoot creature they call the Boggy Creek Monster. So that's the beginning of my journey with Bigfoot. Let's listen to some more of the music, and I can tell you something I actually did see. So, that wasn't so, much.
No, this isn't for you, Jeff.
Okay.
I just found a bit of trivia about the theme song that I thought I should share. And the echo sound that Corey pointed out that Mark Snow wrote, that's so iconic, was an accident. Mark Snow accidentally leaned his elbow on the keys while the echo function was set on the keyboard. And the resulting sound becomes the X-File echo that he then writes the song around. Which I thought was just a cool little bit. Like, hey, Jeff's given us great trivia about the history of Jeff. I might as well give people history about the show and the song, because one of us needs to talk about this stuff.
You know what? I was sitting there thinking, Sasquatches must be pretty prevalent where I'm from, Saskatchewan, because a lot of people think the province of Saskatchewan is named for Sasquatches. And I'm thinking maybe I can get Jeff up here to visit me if he thinks he's going to see a Sasquatch, but they're not even that common here. So I can't even lie and say, come on up and see some Bigfoots. Saskatchewan has nothing to do with Sasquatch, unfortunately.
Wait, Corey, you know what you can do, apparently, with Jeff? You can invite him over to come visit you in Saskatchewan, and both of you morons can watch the X-Files, so that way we can talk about it.
Good idea. I'm down for that if Jeff is.
Of course. I come visit you even if there ain't any big feet up there.
Oh, that's nice. I know my wife watched all the X-Files, loved them all. She even watched the 2016 little miniseries version, kind of the reboot of it. So she's a big X-Files fan. I've seen like 3 episodes and a couple of movies, so I'm kind of in the same boat as Jeff.
So one of the cool things about this show, I'm going to do it because Jeff probably doesn't even have his tidbit ready yet. But one of the cool things about this show was this came shortly on the heels of Silence of the Lambs. And it's no mistake that Gillian Anderson's Scully seems a lot like Jodie Foster in that movie. She modeled the character and her performance off of Jodie Foster and Clarice Starling. So it's really interesting. And part of what made this show work, I think, was that dynamic of Mulder being that kind of slick, cool guy who was like thrown in the bottom basement office, you know, examining all these weird X-Files. And then you get like a Clarice Starling type that when they play for high tension or when they're going after these things, a lot of the scenes play like when Jodie Foster's going after Buffalo Bill at the end of that movie. So it works on a lot of different levels, and there are a lot of inspirations that make it work well.
Jeff, you got a tidbit for us?
Oh, well, I was going to follow up on, finish up my Bigfoot story. The one other instance I had when I was about 7 or 8 years old was I actually saw a footprint, and I think that cemented it for me. And that footprint is really what kind of led me down this crazy path. And now, like anything that has to do with any of that kind of stuff, or UFOs or ghost, that's right up my alley. And I think that's why when I tuned in and watched the X-Files, although I didn't do it every Friday, it really kind of got a hold of me, and I enjoyed every episode that I watched. It's definitely something that's on my list of shows to go back and binge watch at some point.
The X-Files gave 2 things to me. One, it gave me one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons, where Mr. Burns was kind of mistaken for an alien, and Vince Gilligan, who worked on The X-Files, would go off and create 2 of my favorite TV series of all time, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So I'll always owe the X-Files that.
And Corey, being fan of both of those shows as well, Vince Gilligan's name is all over some of the best X-Files episodes.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, if you're not going to go back and watch the entire run of the series, and there are some stinkers later in the series when Duchovny leaves, it's not nearly as good as it once was. So it has some. It's not a perfect show, but when it's at its best, it's some of the best TV of all time. And you should go out and look up the 3 episodes I mentioned earlier, but look up some of the Vince Gilligan episodes and enjoy, and see the parallels to the work he does later in his career on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
I'm absolutely going to do that. That is a great idea.
Sure, this song only ran for like 30 seconds, 40 seconds on the TV show. So we're at some points in this song now that might have been used as interstitials on the show, might may have been used as outros, but I don't remember this part of the song at all on TV.
Yeah, in fairness, this is the from the 20th anniversary celebration of the X-Files. So yeah, the probably a little bit that wasn't actually included in the original theme.
Yeah, I don't hate it. It has a very dreamlike quality to it.
Very atmospheric. And actually, John Beale is credited on this as well. So John Beale is a very well-known composer who maybe helped extend the original TV theme a little bit here. But what I wanted to point out, John, was how many classic themes are like six notes and under. Like, if count the actual notes of the actual theme, that it's six notes. How many great themes? Jaws is two notes, right? How many themes are that simple that they're like six notes and under?
I mean, Carpenter writing Halloween. How many notes is that, right? Like, part of it is the turnaround time, right? Like, so sometimes you're trying to crank it out, and it has to go with, you know, the piece of, you know, it's being built for. And there's a high turnaround time, and you're diddling around, and something just works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like leaning on your keyboard with the echo by accident, and then building a song around it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, that is the slightly extended version of the X-Files theme from the X-Files 20th anniversary celebration. Not one you're going to pop in the car stereo when you're going on a road trip, but one of the more iconic theme songs in television history.
So, guys, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. I know I said earlier in this episode that we should do the Twilight Zone theme song, but I don't know. Like, the more I'm thinking about it, that feels like there's a lot of ground to try and cover as a B-side of this episode. Like, The Twilight Zone is such an iconic show. What are your thoughts?
I would think you could spend a whole episode on The Twilight Zone.
It is another truly iconic theme song, but that song is only a minute 30, so I'm cool if we want to play a little bit of something else here, too.
Yeah,
you
want
to hear some of the disco version of the X-Files theme?
Well, I think we should play something else, but I don't know if Twilight Zone's it. You know, if you want to dive a little bit more into the X-Files, it's just tough talking X-Files with you guys because I'm having a one-sided conversation right now. You know, I mean, Corey, who is the cigarette-smoking man?
He was a guy who smoked cigarettes and knew stuff.
Oh, I know this one. He sold Marlboros.
John just saying God is maybe my favorite part of the show.
The next time that we have Jeff on, I'm picking the song and making Jeff talk about whatever.
But one of the inspirations from, I did do a little bit of research before I came on, but one of the real life inspirations for this team of Mulder and Scully is this thing called Project Blue Book. And it was done by the US government back in the 50s and 60s. And it was basically the same thing. Like they, I can't remember the name of the Air Force sergeant that was involved, but it was an Air Force sergeant and a a professor of astrophysics. A professor of astrophysics, and they went around and investigated a lot of the UFO sightings and stuff back during that time. So it very much was kind of the template that the X-Files used. And they did a TV show based on those two guys a couple of years ago. Unfortunately, it was underwatched and it only made it through two seasons, but fantastic stuff. Aidan Gillian from Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. That played Littlefinger. He played the professor, Dr. Alan Heinrich, or Heinlich, no, Heinick, Dr. Alan Heinick. And he was these were both real guys. Fun bit of trivia, Dr. Heinick would later in the mid 70s be a consultant on a little movie Steven Spielberg made called Close Encounters. So it's
I thought you were going to say Amistad.
No, I don't think he was involved in that.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I that's some interesting stuff that I find fascinating. Anytime there's something historical, I can like pull into like my fiction that I watch. It always adds a lot to it. And this show, you know, the UFOs and aliens and the conspiracies, none of that's fiction. So they were also bringing real stuff in there as well.
Mm-hmm. That's all really interesting.
So let me ask you guys, the Mulder-Scully dynamic Chris Carter has cited was very much based on or inspired by Moonlighting, mm-hmm. With Sybil Shepherd and Bruce Willis. Were you guys fans of Moonlighting?
I watched Moonlighting, yeah.
I remember watching it a few times.
Because like season one of Moonlighting, and maybe we'll talk about it at some point on this show, was some of the best stuff. And early Bruce Willis doing Bruce Willis on that show sets up the movie star he's going to become. And you wouldn't have known it because like even when like Die Hard came out, I don't remember people being super excited about that. He had done movies like Blind Date and everything,
right?
And like people, like there was some buzz because of the book and whatnot with Die Hard, but it became kind of an out of nowhere mm-hmm. hit. And what's funny is a lot of what's there on the screen, to a degree, was there on Moonlighting. And similar to Duchovny, Gillian Anderson with X-Files, like a lot of what they do afterwards, like it's just getting super talented people in the right place mm-hmm. sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying my best to talk about the show, guys, because we could talk about the show.
Yeah.
You know, I got an idea. Just give me a second. Someone by night, someone by day, nothing could change you, except and sure of the way.
It's a shame the people at home can't see us dancing right now.
Look. Maddie Hayes and the Blue Moon Detective Agency and David Addison were staples in my house. My mom was a really big fan of the show.
I tried watching stuff with Sybil Shepherd, but every time she came on, I think my TV broke because she would get a little fuzzy. That's a joke, you know? Because
no, I got it. It was a joke, but it was completely lost on me. It might have been lost on the audience too. Like there was a big swing by Jeff that I Corey, did that swing hit you at all?
Oh fuck no! I don't know what the hell he was talking about.
People of a certain age will remember. Sybil Shepherd would have them blur her images and stuff so that she would look younger.
Oh, like
it's a true story.
Oh, you're talking about like early Photoshop airbrushing before there was Photoshop.
Yeah.
I thought you were jacking off so hard to Sybil Shepherd that it got fuzzy on you.
Right. Like I thought we were going to get
nothing fuzzy
like,
about that, sir.
I thought we were going to get like the wavy screens of trying to watch porn by pressing the two buttons at the end of the remote control.
No, but that was appointment TV for Friday nights for me.
Anyways, for people who don't know, that was a little bit of the Moonlighting theme. from Al Jarreau, actually, which I had no idea. Al Jarreau actually did the theme of Moonlighting, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and Moonlighting is one of those shows that's kind of lost in the ether now, but mid-80s was a pretty big deal, and it wasn't Miami Vice. It wasn't any like these trendy stylistic shows, but it was about the chemistry. And bringing it back to the X-Files was built on the chemistry of the two characters, right? And that show doesn't work if Duchovny and Anderson have no chemistry at all. And luckily for us, they did, and you get some spectacular TV out of it.
It's the will they won't they, right? Like there was the whole will they won't they, and once they did in Moonlighting, the show started to suck. You can almost say the same thing about Cheers with Sam and Diane. It's that whole will they won't they interplay that kind of, and you had that in X-Files too. They got romantically linked at one point. Sculler, what the fuck name? Fox, Sculler, and Mulder, whoever.
Scully and Mulder, and it did have the will they or won't they, but I will contend that the one thing X-Files had going for it that these other shows don't is that there was a lot more to it than will they or won't they. Like a lot of the shows and the premises that you bring up, the entire premise was will they or won't they.
That was Moonlighting. Yeah.
This was will they or won't they, but it was also will Mulder discover the truth. It was also will Scully debunk what Mulder believes in. It was, there was a lot of layers. Will the cigarette smoking man who say 9 steps ahead of them in hiding whatever the higher conspiracy is? Does the higher conspiracy exist? Are there aliens? Like, there were so many freaking questions on this show.
Maybe that's why it lasted like 11 seasons, and Moonlighting lasted like 4.
Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying, John. It's the chase, right? Like with Moonlighting, the will they or won't they, it's all about the chase. And once once the chase was over, it kind of went downhill. But in the X-Files, like you've said, there's all these different layers to it. There's all these different chases going on. And I think that that's probably one of the reasons that the show and the franchise has been sustainable for as long as it has. Because I think from when it premiered to when they did like the last season that came out a couple of years ago, I mean, it's like a 20 something year run. And I don't know of any other shows that have accomplished that.
I think the biggest flaw with the X-Files right now is that they've done 2 movies and they haven't capitalized on like the mini series in the streaming era. Because if you gave me a solid 10 episode revival of the X-Files on one of the streaming services, that would be must see TV right now.
And they did do that in 2016, but it doesn't sound like they're going to do another one. I think Gillian Anderson, especially, is kind of done with X-Files. I've heard things about an animated series maybe coming out. I think Disney owns the rights right now, right? They bought that when they bought 20th Century Fox. So if Disney sees dollar signs in the X-Files, I'm sure we might see another revival coming without Gillian Anderson, unfortunately, though.
I kind of would like to see an X-Files owned by Disney animated with like Duchovny and then Woody and Buzz from Toy Story, you know, trying to uncover a mystery.
Oh,
you know what I want to see a wrong, what I want to see a revival of is there is the sun. Oh yeah,
but the problem with that one is those are two people who genuinely cannot stand each other.
That's very true. Yeah, they
agree. Yeah, and unfortunately with Mr. Willis, he wouldn't be able to do it now, sadly.
So
recast. It doesn't have to be a complete reboot. Just give me another Moonlighting. They recasted Magnum P.I. with people with no personality whatsoever. Give me a Moonlighting one. Cast some decent people, and let's bring Moonlighting back for a couple of years. Why not? The number one movie in the world right now is Top Gun Maverick.
I don't know what the relevance of that is, Corey.
I just wanted to say that on a podcast.
Oh, that's fine, but we can cover we're gonna cover Danger Zone at some point. So you'll be 100%
next week, because I gotta tell you, X-Files theme was cool and all, but I'm running out of things to say.
All right, so Are you kind of laying down the law that next week we're going to do Danger Zone?
Well, here's what I was going to propose, because I still got half a bottle of whiskey and Jeff is still here. I was going to give him another crack at it. Maybe something he's actually seen or something he actually has an emotional attachment to, unless you have one more story left in you, Jeff, where you explain, were you abducted at any point? Were you ever anally probed by someone other than John Mariano? Is there a bigger story that we're kind of building to here?
Not that, I mean, I don't know about the anal probing, not to my knowledge. I used to have dreams about UFOs, but I don't think that it was something that actually happened. I think it was just dreams I had, but I had recurring dreams. It would be a whole nother podcast, but since I've been working like in a hospital for the last 15 years, man, I've got ghost stories out the wazoo. Now I would have to think of beforehand before, going into too much of that on the air, because, you know, I have to be sensitive to my patients and their families and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe in the paranormal, and I've never seen a UFO, but I've had some pretty vivid dreams. So I definitely believe in that. And I saw that footprint when I was a kid. So I believe that there are some hairy ape men out there having a good time.
Well, one of them is right here. And I just want to listen. I want to apologize to our listeners, to our audience right now, for any of you that were tuning in for some deep discussion on the X-Files. I came prepared. This wasn't on Corey. I sold Corey on Jeff as a guest. I probably should have vetted him a little bit better than this with the whole, yeah, I watched the X-Files, but I didn't really pay attention to the larger conspiracy storyline, which was half the freaking show, Jeff.
I told you before I came on, I hadn't watched all of it, but
don't listen to you.
But, all right, well, this is a train wreck. Jeff, you got any more songs you want to talk about from shows you've never seen?
Well, let's see. Like for this episode or for another one?
For another one. Here, I'm thinking we maybe cut this one and let the poor people
say,
go ahead to listen
say
to
like,
it.
I would say probably one of my favorite shows since I was young is Cheers. And it has like one of the best, one of my favorite theme songs. You know, it's a song like anytime I hear it, it's just one of those that puts you in a good place. And that's one I could talk about with an adult beverage in my hand.
Okay. Wait. Before we say yes, that Jeff could come back and talk about Cheers. Jeff?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start naming names and you stop me when somebody didn't appear on Cheers.
Okay.
Norm, Carla, Coach, Woody, Rebecca, Lilith, Frasier, Harry, Gil.
All of those guys were on Cheers.
Are you sure about that, Jeff?
I think Gil was one of the guys that usually was, he was one of the patrons that was usually behind, maybe getting his name wrong. But I think he was one of the patrons that sat behind Normie and Cliff.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure his name was Gil. I tried to throw that in there as a monkey wrench. But the fact that we both think that his name was Gil at least tells me we were both paying enough attention.
Now, I've got in the top of my closet, I actually have a Cheers trivia game. Now, I haven't played it since the 90s, but I used to know my Cheers. And I've seen every episode at least a couple or three times.
All right. So why don't we wrap this up, Corey? Why don't we let the X-Files song play us out? If you have anything to wrap us up, people can find me at John Mariano NY on Twitter. And I do a little show called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited with Corey Morissette. Jeff, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JeffSaunders74. And I put funny stuff on there and also pictures from my trips. And you can also find me on the Feeding the Monster podcast feed. I occasionally still put out a podcast there. And on the Feeding the Monster podcast feed YouTube's channel, which is where I put out the Truly Bizarre World. And I just wanted to say one more time, I know I didn't know the whole show, The X-Files, but the theme song I love and adore, and what that show stands for, and what it has meant to pop culture, I love and adore.
It definitely has its place in pop culture history, and especially that theme song, like you said. It was a great choice, even though you don't know much about it, Jeff. But I had a lot of fun talking to you anyway, and I'm looking forward to talking a little Cheers with you next week on the show. So until then, on behalf of Jeff Saunders and John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. Good night, everybody.